Welcome to another episode of Living an Alter Life. My name is Mike, and this week we have a guest that I got to see cruise around the dome in 2024 and absolutely crush a 100-miler like he was like a 30-year-old or something, and he's not. And he's like a legend in the ultra-running sport, and I'm so excited to have him on. So let's bring in Mr. Tony Bruno. Tony, ready to go for a little run?
Let's do it.
All right. How many miles we want to do tonight?
I'm out of a down week. I'm only doing 50 this week, and then I'll just crank up two more weeks and be ready. I'm going to run Midnight Dreary.
Midnight Dreary.
It's a people's race. It's the people's version of the people's race version of the Raven in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. The reason I'm doing that is it's 10 days after my 60th birthday.
Awesome.
So I want to just crank one out right there as soon as possible.
Okay. And is that a 24-hour race or?
Yeah, it is a 24-hour race. So I've had troubles going to full 24 before, but I've done a few decent hundreds. So we'll see what happens.
Few decent hundreds. Understatement of the year. Okay. We'll get into that in a second. So, Tony, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Where do you live? All that good stuff.
Well, I grew up outside of Pittsburgh. I lived there until 2020, and I moved to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and I work on a golf course so I can coach a high school team here. The hours work out perfectly so I could coach, and then I have to work my runs in between both of those. So
that is awesome. Now, have you been coaching for a long time?
I used to coach at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. That was my career when I got out of college, and I did it for about 9 years. And then I just got into the real world. I started having children, and Catholic schools don't pay that well. So we had to pivot. And I went in the quote real world, as Chuck Knoll used to say, the old Steelers coach, get on with your life's work. But I did that for a number of years. And then I had my own business in Pittsburgh as a, owned a landscape and lawn company and did that. And then I moved down here and didn't want to do that anymore. But guess what I do? I do maintenance on a golf course now. So go figure.
Gave up the business. And now you do it for a job. There you go.
Yeah. But I have insurance through there, which is the main thing. And the hours are perfect. So I can leave every day and get a quick run in and go coach. And then usually get a run in after coaching in the evenings and then hang out with my wife, after that.
Right. Now you've also, so your website is nofonerunning.com. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Did I get it right?
That's it.
Cool. So, and now you also do some other coaching besides like regular everyday runners all the way up to some of the really, really good ones, right?
Right now, I'm only coaching a few guys down here on the island. During the season, it's very difficult to coach online. I'll just basically take someone's marathon cycle or whatever and coach them through it. But the two guys that I actually just train with and help them out are pretty stout in their own right. My boy Harrison Moore, he just ran Merrill's Mile in Dahlonega,
okay,
Georgia, 48-hour race. He went 203 miles.
Holy smokes, that's awesome!
So yeah, he set the course record and got a 200 buckle. They made a 200 buckle just in case anyone ever could, and they had to give it to him. So
awesome.
And then the other guy's Alex Campbell, who's a big dude. He goes over 200 pounds, and he's went 249 in the marathon over 200 pounds.
What?
Yeah. So we've done a lot of research, and we found that's the second fastest we could find over 200 pounds.
Wow, that's spoken for under 200 pounds, but over 200 pounds, that's amazing.
Yeah. So those are the guys I train with and help them out. Those are my main training partners.
Awesome. And then one of the people that you informally coach is your daughter, of course, Emma, who we've had on the podcast with Garrett.
Yeah, Emma and Garrett, right now they're just enjoying life in Colorado Springs. They've been out there about 6 weeks, and they don't have any races on the calendar, so We don't talk running when we talk. We just talk about different things right now, which is sort of nice.
Yeah. Are you jealous of them being able to run out in Colorado?
No. I love that they're out there and that's where they want to be. God bless them. My feet, I have the peroneal tendons, which go down on the side of the foot from behind the ankle bone, are basically slowly shredding like a rope. Mm. And I can't run single track anymore.
Wow. Okay.
I have to do all track, road. I'll go on beach run. That's fine. But it's too unstable. I can't do it anymore.
Wow. That's so amazing. Well, let's jump into your running career because, I mean, you're turning 62 weeks from now, right? Is that right?
24th of September, I'll turn.
Awesome. But you've been running pretty much your whole life, haven't you?
I can go back. I have a picture that my mother took on the 4th of July, 1981. So
wow.
That's as far back. I mean, I obviously trained for that race, but that was the first race I ran was a 4th of July race in Apollo, Pennsylvania on July 4th, 1981. I ran 48 minutes and some change, a very hilly course. I was not ready for it.
Okay. So then you ran all the way through high school. Like what were your races in high school?
Yeah, in high school, obviously cross country. And then in track, I ran usually the 3200 or 2 mile, they called it still then. I graduated in 1983. So I ran most of my races on cinder tracks that were, you know, 440 yards, not 400 meters.
Yeah.
So the 2 mile, and that was my event. And I was going to walk on at Robert Morris College, which is a small D1 school by the Pittsburgh airport. And after cross country, my senior year, my training partner, my friend who got me running, Kurt Schreffler, said, "Hey, let's run a marathon." I'm like, "Okay." So that was December, I believe, 10 or 11 of 1982. We got into his dad's car at 3:30 in the morning in a snowstorm and drove to State College. And I ran 2:59:08, and I think he ran 3:08.
Wow.
No mileage, just as stupid. And when the college coach found out that I had broken three in a marathon, one, he's like, "Why did you run a marathon?" I'm like, "I don't know." And two, he's like, "Well, we got something to work with there." So he gave me some money as a freshman. And, yeah, I went from 35 miles a week to 70 in that summer and start cranking up. And I did pretty good from my freshman year on.
Awesome. And were you also like 2 miler type of races through college also?
In college, it was nicer because the cross country was 5 miles or the championship races were 10,000 meters or 10K.
Okay.
So it was more suited. And then I had in track, I did 5,000 indoor. And then mostly 10,000 or, you know, occasional 5,000 outdoor.
Okay.
So I was more suited to the longer distance. I didn't have the speed that a lot of guys have. I always hated when my college roommate, he would run the 1500. He'd be done in 3 3/4 laps and I had to go 25. So it was.
So you've kind of gravitated more towards the endurance than the speed then.
Well, I had to. I didn't have speed.
Right.
I don't think if I fell out of a plane a mile up, I could break 4 minutes.
Maybe we should experiment for like your 65th birthday and see how fast you can do that jumping out of a plane.
Yeah, I still get on the, I was on the track yesterday getting some work, like a 5 times 1,000 after my kids were done. But it's not where it used to be, but even where it used to be wasn't as fast as a lot of guys. So,
When you got out of college, is that when you started running more marathons or what did you do? Like, what was your running like after college?
After college, I was coaching at Duquesne University. So we would go to, you know, in the fall, I believe I'm looking on the wall here. I have a 1987 Marine Corps marathon picture hanging there, running in front of the Capitol. I ran a few marathons after college, but nothing, you know, maybe 3 or 4.
Okay.
But we had the one of the ASICS shoe reps in Pittsburgh got a hold of me and said, "Hey, can we put a team together?" I said, I could put a team together. I'm like, these aren't the most polished guys, but we can move. So, you know, he's like, "I don't care. Let's get some people together." So we had an ASICS Pittsburgh team together for 2 years where he ran a lot of mostly 10Ks, a few 5Ks in the area.
Okay. So that then was, when did you jump from marathon into ultras?
Oh my
and,
God.
And
I
why?
Knew it all.
Okay.
I'm a neophyte still in ultras. My first ultra was 2018 or 2019. I can't remember the, my brother told me about this race in Pittsburgh. We were still there. It's called the Rachel Carson, which is 35 miles and it's nothing like I've ever done before. There's sliding down on your butt, climbing with hands over, like grabbing onto roots to get up things. And, I trained on it. I went and it was 35 miles. So I did 7 mile sections a couple of times, you know, do 14 or whatever. And I went and did it. Yeah. It was 52 at the time. So whatever that's 8 years ago now. And, the kid who won was 26. I came in second. I was twice his age. He got away from me at like 11 or 12 miles, but that was the first one. And then I went, it was called Laurel Highlands 70 miler, you know, another trail race. And it was, there's some pretty decent climbs and I pulled a glute muscle and had to stop at like 32 or 35 miles, whatever it was. And from there, that was pretty much it. I didn't run another one until I got down here. And I met this guy, Ron Maver, who moved from Jersey down here and he'd run, you know, a few hundreds and whatnot. I'm like, oh, they have him on a track. I'll do that. So I went up to some upstate. I can't even remember where it was. I somewhere around Columbia and ran a 100 miler on a track. 19:33:10 is what I ran.
Wow. Okay.
I had, again, no idea what I was doing. Just out running laps. My wife was crewing me. She didn't have a clue either, but she did a phenomenal job. And we finished that one up and that was a 24 hour, but I was just happy to get to 100. So I stopped.
Right.
And then I'm trying to think, my next race, I think was a race for the ages, which is a Laz race in Tennessee,
yep,
where you run your age in hours.
Yep.
So I got, that was, I want to say I was 57. So 2 years ago. And I was really fit for that. I was running 40 milers and my last like 2 miles or so would be sub 7.
Wow.
Me and Alex were just cranking miles. He was getting me ready. And I went out and had no idea how to run 57 hours. I ran it like I just know I went out and ran. I went through the first 100 in 17:29.
Wow.
Which was almost 3 hours faster than anyone had ever done that before. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's why I blew up. So I only got to like 131 or 2 miles in 30 some hours. And my IT band went, I just could not walk. It took me 40 minutes to walk my last 1 mile loop. And I'm like, I can't do this. So we went back and I to the Airbnb that night and I laid in a bed and the toilet had to be about 10 feet from where my bed was. So I went, got up in the middle of the night, went to the bathroom and I could not get back. I could not get my legs in the bed.
Wow.
I laid like on my back, on my butt and the legs were just hanging off the bed and until Melissa got up and she picked them up and put them on the bed for me. I just could not. I mean, I thought I broke myself.
Wow.
And that was weird because for 6 weeks afterwards, I was like looking at everything. It was blurry. It was like you're looking at something through a clear shower curtain. Everything was just, it took 6 weeks for that vision like that to clear
up.
I thought I permanently hurt myself.
Yep.
But once that cleared up, I'm like, oh, let's do this again. So I went to the Raven in last year, I guess it was. And was just cranking through and I was about 30 some miles in and Alex was crewing. Alex and Melissa were up there crewing me, and he's like, "I think you're close to an American age group record for 50 miles." And I'm like, "All right." So he told me what it was, and I was like, "All right." So I had to just keep cranking, and I got it a couple minutes, and but at like 47 and a half, my the same IT band went from
wow
back before, so I limped in, and I had to stop at 50, but I got that record. And then the next one, I believe, was, yeah, the Dome, where you
right.
saw me.
Yeah.
And that one, everything went, it couldn't have went any better at the Dome. The only thing was bad, I had to change my shoes at 47 miles. I changed shoes. I was getting scraped on the top of my feet.
Okay.
So other than that, I did not stop. I stopped 4 minutes to change my shoes. And two times in a port-a-john, just 20 seconds to go to the bathroom real quick. And that was it. Every step I took was running in that race. I'm very proud of the fact that I did not walk one step in the
that
dome.
That was amazing. Yeah. I remember asking Mike Dobies, I was like, "Are you sure he's in his 50s? I was like, "The dude's running like he's in his 40s, man. There's no way he's in his late 50s.
Well, but here's the thing is I went there and I'm finishing my fourth lap and Zach Bitters lapped me.
Yeah.
He was doing five for every one of my four. So it was quite humbling. I didn't think I did anything special because I'm getting lapped every five, well, four of my laps, five of his. So it wasn't like I didn't really think I was doing anything special. And then I got we didn't realize this till later. I got the 12-hour road record because the track is 443
right.
meters. So you can't count it as a track ultra. It's a road ultra. So I got the 12 hours. I went back and went to the last lap I completed in 12, before 12 hours. So I got that was like 80.49 maybe.
Wow.
So
that's fast.
Yeah, and then I went back to the Raven this past year and did not run well. Well, when I tell you I didn't run well, I ran 17:11, but it wasn't anything near where I wanted to do. I stopped at 100. I was trying to – they had everybody there trying to qualify for the U.S. 24-hour team.
Right.
So it was a loaded field, and I was fired up, and I just trained way too hard for it. I broke myself before the race. I did 178 miles 1 week, like 3 weeks out, and never recovered from that. So I sometimes forget when I'm running that I'm, 59, not 29.
Exactly. But I mean, here's the thing. So Pat Hassler was first in that race, and he's 35. Tony Brungard was second, and he's 39. And then Jordan Camastro, who's a beast, is 42, and he's the only those are the three dudes who finished ahead of you. And so I'm sitting there looking at that. I'm going, the dude's 59 years old and crushed this race, and I think he did amazing. Now the Raven surface, is that an outdoor track?
Yeah, they call it the Town Hall Track in Mount Pleasant. It's four or six lanes. I think it's six lanes. But what's nice about it is the back stretch, trees hang down over it. You have just over 100 meters every lap that's shaded, no matter what time of day it is. So that's pretty cool. And it makes for a good race.
And, yeah, I can imagine.
Jacob and Riley Moss put on phenomenal races. It's so nice. You go up there, you don't have to put up a tent. You don't have to bring a table. They provide it for you. And it's you just show up with your bin and one bin with shoes, one bin, with shoes and clothes and one bin with food and just go at it.
That's amazing. So when you're doing these things, how do you fuel when you're running these type of races?
So I still am figuring that out. But so my wife is vegan.
Okay.
Okay. So I call myself vegan adjacent, which means that I eat what she eats when we're in our house.
Right.
When we go out to a party, I'll have the piece of cake. Somebody's birthday, she won't eat the cake, I'll eat the cake.
Right.
If there's some butter on a croissant, I'm going to eat the croissant. She won't do it. She's strict. That's why I call myself vegan adjacent. But anyway, so what I eat are vegan chicken patties, like you ate in cafeteria in junior high or high school, you know, and I cut them in half, and I'll probably every 10 miles I'll eat a half of a, you know, a fake chicken sandwich with a little bit of mayo. And you know, then I do my best electrolyte is scratch is what I found works best for me. And then
Do you
I'll,
use
you know,
the Super Fuel
no, regular, just scratch, just
just
you know,
regular? Okay.
and then I'll substitute water maybe every, like I'll do scratch, and I'll just grab a bottle and run a lap with it, and I'll drink maybe a quarter of the bottle. I don't really hydrate a lot. I don't hydrate on training runs at all.
Okay.
But then I'll maybe a banana, some applesauce later in the race when the stomach starts. You know, after about 70 miles, nothing really goes down well. And that's when you bring out like, oh, Twizzlers, nice, you know. You know, and then I drink a Uritos orange soda too. It's
Okay.
a Mexican, and it has cane sugar instead of corn syrup, so that's a good thing. So I'll have some of that, but nothing like chews or goos or anything like that. I just eat
Right.
regular food, Fig Newtons, watermelon, nothing, you know, whatever looks good at the time.
Yep.
And usually it's all mine. I never really go to the table and get anything because I don't know. I have everything right there, and it's just sort of a mindset.
So
So
now
that's.
when you go to Midnight Dreary, do they call it the Midnight Dreary? Does it start at midnight or something?
No, it's just the Raven is Edgar Allan Poe's one story, and Midnight Dreary is another one.
Okay.
So he's from Charleston. That's why that Riley and
Wow.
Jacob went with the Edgar Allan Poe theme. Now the
Awesome.
midnight, I actually hope to be done with 100 by midnight, which would be 15 hours, but I don't know if
Awesome.
that's going to happen. But I think it starts at 9 a.m.
Okay. Now, will you, if you hit 100 before midnight, will you stop or will you keep going and
No, no,
see
no.
if you can go 24?
I'm gonna keep going this time. I've never really done it. My wife's like, you know, you haven't really gone past 100. I'm like, yeah, I know. So we're gonna see what I could do. The 100, it's the 100 mile 60-64 age group record, 17:35. So
Okay.
I don't think that's a problem. I just and one, I think 125 is the 24-hour record,
Okay.
and then you have a 12-hour in there and a 200K. So if all goes well, I could come out with four, but I'll just take one at a time. You know, I'm not greedy. I'll take one.
There you go. You take one. There you go. That's awesome. Cool. What would you like to do next?
So after Midnight Dreary, I'm going to run Myrtle Beach 24 hour.
Okay.
Patrick Lloyd. Patrick,
Yep.
he had me on his podcast, and we became friends. And I told him if he got it certified and sanctioned USATF, I would run it because there's a 20 or a 12 hour that I could get for the road. And I told him the minute you publish it sanctioned, I will sign up. So he said it's in the process, so I'm waiting. So that's February 20, or I'm sorry, January 24.
Right.
It's a little soon after Midnight Dreary, but I think I can make it happen. And
Make
I'm
it turn around.
trying to talk my wife Melissa into running it as well. She's
Oh, that'd be fun.
yeah, well, maybe.
Okay.
She's run a 12-hour race before, but never anything longer. Yeah, she actually won a 12-hour race, Farm Days down in Georgia. She went 53 miles on a course that
Well.
I wouldn't run, like a 1.7-mile loop. Yeah, so I've been talking to her. She has a couple of triathlons to get through first. So,
Okay.
yeah, so that's next up. And then she just asked me today what I was thinking of next. And I said, I think I'm going to go back to Race for the Ages. So I'll be 60 next Labor Day weekend and have 2.5 days.
Yep.
200 and I think 213 won it this year. 213,
Think that's
215.
totally doable.
Well, we would think that, but that course is not easy. You know,
No,
Laz
it's
is a,
hot. Yeah.
yeah, Laz is a masochist.
Yes, he
So
is.
there's two out and backs on there, which I'm like, when I was running it the first time, why are these people walking this? And after I did it for, 100 times, I'm like, oh, that's why my IT band feels the way it does.
Yep.
So yeah, that's I think that's next up. And then I want to run another marathon. There's a fringe group of how long you between your first sub 3 hour marathon and your latest sub 3 hour marathon.
Okay.
And I believe the world record is 45
Oh,
years.
you got that then.
No, don't.
Oh, wait, no, because you were 18, right?
I was actually
So,
17. I was
okay.
17, so I'd still only be 43. But my friend who lives in Bluffton, which is just off of Hilton Head Island, at one time had the world record, like 44 years. Jim Miller. I think it's since been broken, but Jim's like 62 or 63, and I think
Okay.
if he has a good training cycle, he could run sub three again.
Wow.
But
I
yeah, so
fantasize about the sub three.
that might be next up, but I'd have to get the lot of track work back and get those tempo runs back. Like I tell
Yep.
everybody, it's so much easier training for an ultra, like 100 or a 24, than it is for a marathon.
Yeah.
It's just time on feet, just going out
Yep.
and getting those miles and getting the back-to-back long runs on the weekends. You get 15 or 20 on Saturday and come back with 25 or 30 on Sunday. And then, it's not hard to get 100 miles when you do that every week.
Nope.
So I think that's in the near future. I just want to, let people know that 60 is not a death sentence. 60 is just getting started.
Yep.
I'm gonna try to do this as long as possible. I have a friend down here. He's 87 years old. He ran marathons. He was like, I think he went 308 was his best ever. And he
Okay.
lives he lives a few doors down from me, Barry. And he just said one day I couldn't run anymore. He was about 80 years old. He just said, "That's it. I can't run anymore." So he walks his dog with a lacrosse stick because he's too proud to use a cane.
Yep.
But I'm going to go up until I can't.
I'm going down at Thanksgiving to do a 10K with my mom. She's 85 years old, and so her thing is I want to do a 10K every year. And so every year at Thanksgiving, I go down to Florida and we do a 10K, and they're getting a lot slower, but I still just think it's amazing that she's 85 years old and she gets out there every day and moves. And, this is after, major back surgery and everything. So, I just tell
Well,
people,
God bless her.
you got to keep moving.
God bless her. I think that's amazing. Those are the kind of stories I love to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all get slower, but you just keep moving, because it sure beats the alternative.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I hit my first, I got my first podium ever at 61 at
Is
this
that this?
year's 48 hour at the Dome. Yeah.
Yes.
First time ever that I've been on a podium. I didn't actually start running till I was 46. So I'm a spring chicken in this running thing. So, but that was my very first podium ever in my life. And 61 years old. So I tell people, you don't know what you're capable of, and you can't sit there and look at what your age is and make that your determination of, okay, when do I have to start slowing down? I don't think we slow down. I think we just keep on getting better.
Well, I think that you have to adjust. Like I can't run 5K what I used to run, so now I just run longer. I had the football team at the high school one day. I was like, all right, who wants to run 100 against me? And a couple of, I was like, oh, how fast can you run 100? I said 15, 16. He's like most some linemen can beat you. I'm like, you guys can't even run a mile. And I was messing with them. They thought I thought 100 meters, and I was like messing with them. I'm like, no, not 100 meters, 100 miles. They're all like, oh, okay. But again, you have to adjust your expectations and goals. I can't go and try to break 30 like I used to. I came real close in the 10K, but I, you know, never could do it. But I can't even come close to that now, and I don't even worry about it. You know, if I could run 40, I'll be, hey, look at that, huh?
There you go. If I could run 40, I'd have to pinch myself and figure out who the hell that was. So, yeah, God did not bless me with any speed whatsoever, so he had to give me, you know, the ability to just keep on moving for long, long periods of time.
Well, you know what? Mental toughness is a good tool to have. And that's what I tell a lot of the kids that don't have the, you know, like that I coach, the amount of talent that others do. I'm like, if you have mental toughness, you could go far in this running game. Not only that, but mental toughness is going to help you in the world better than it is to be talented runner. So, you know, I try to teach the kids that. And, you know, if you have mental toughness, you can do some things that other people can't.
Yep. I totally agree with you.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing what happens if you learn how to just kind of stick to something and don't worry about what everybody else is doing and just do you really, really well.
Well, and here's the other thing though, when you say about don't worry what other people are doing, this brings up a story that always comes to mind. The people that, oh man, you do too much. If you're making people uncomfortable with the amount that you're doing it right.
Yep.
Great. And I can't believe you run that much. You need to rest more. You need to this. Maybe you need to pick up your game a bit.
Yep. I totally agree with you there. That is amazing. So, like when you're talking to people about running and, you know, what they're capable of, like, you know, people that you coach and like the high school team, how do you motivate people?
Well, like with my team, it's amazing. I have to learn, like I motivate every kid differently. Like there's some that I have to upset, or, you know, and there's some you pat on the back. Hey, great job, man. We need more like this. And there's some kids that, like, I have a girl that we give out I give out a hat every week to the person. It's the same hat they wear that exceeds my expectations the most. We had our first meet Saturday and she would have got it, but another little girl, they're both eighth graders, I say little girl, beat her to the line. So I gave it to the other girl. And she's like, she beat me on the last three steps. I'm like, well, you lost a hat by three steps. I said, maybe this week you run three steps further.
Nope.
And, you know, she got like upset with me a little bit, but that's how I motivate her. You know, I got my third runner on the guys team. He needs positive reinforcement. So you have to figure out what people's buttons are. And that's, as a coach, you could get any workout off of ChatGPT or any website, and you can give people workouts, whether they're the right time or not. But a lot of coaching, especially at the high school level, as opposed to college, is nurturing these kids and motivating them.
Yep.
Like I have three runners right now that are being recruited by D1 schools, and they are absolutely loving life. And, you know, I'm helping them through the process, and it's like, I don't really have to motivate them because the process is motivating them.
Okay.
I have two guys and one girl that they're just, you know, they're killing it right now, but I, you know, you need five. So I have, you know, I have on the girl side, I have a gaggle, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are all right together. So it's an art form. I've been doing it for a while, you know, and that's the highlight of my day, to be honest, is 4 o'clock and when the kids are showing up and every kid shows up, I high five them, you know, hey, what's going on today? You know, and we talk and I, you know, I know what's going on, who's broke up with their girlfriend and who did this. But when the workout starts, none of that matters. It's time to work.
Awesome. That's good stuff. That is very good. I'd love to come down and watch one of your coaching sessions one time. I think that'd be a blast.
Oh, it's, We have fun. Some kids, you know, I reamed a kid out yesterday and he sort of shut down, and I went over to him afterwards. I said, you know, I only yell because I care.
Right.
If I didn't care, I wouldn't have said a word to you. You could have gone on about your thing. You know, you have me whenever you need something. But we have it. My assistant coach is very good too, Mike Henderson. He's real good with the kids psychologically. I put the workouts together and he mentally gets them ready also, which is a big help. So yeah, we'll have our second meet on Saturday. We'll see how it goes.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, let's start wrapping this up. As you know, the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. So when you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Well, ultra just meaning is like beyond. So when I think of living an ultra life, I think of going beyond the norm. Like I just said a few minutes ago, if you're not making people feel uncomfortable, you're not doing enough. That's what living an ultra life is. I just watch these people, you know, that like, oh, look, they have a hydration vest to run a 5K. I'm like, what are you doing? Like we go out and I've taught all my guys now, we don't take water anymore. We'll do 20, okay. 25 miles. We'll stop maybe at a fountain and get a sip. But like it's extreme. That's
yep.
What ultra is to me. It's just living an extreme life.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch you set these 60 to 69 age group records, man. I'm kind of bummed that you're in my age group now, but you're going to set the target really, really high for me, aren't
well,
you?
Let's see what happens. You know, we, as you know, if you wake up and only one thing hurts, that's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's every day something different. Like I pulled a muscle in my neck driving a bus in a dream. I swear to God it happened. I had to go to the chiropractor. He's like, how'd you do it? I'm like, I was driving a bus. He's like, what? As I told him the story in the dream, he's like, okay. So again, I'm taking every day I can because I don't know when this crazy thing is going to end, but you know, I'm going to run it right up until the end.
There you go. That is awesome. Awesome. Tony, thank you so much for coming on the program. This is such a great honor to talk to you because I absolutely loved watching you run at the Dome in 2024. It was just a thing of beauty. I really admired the way that you attacked it.
Well, I appreciate it. And I just want to tell you, I was there this past year, crewing my daughter and Garrett, and I watched you run the first 24 anyway, while they were still running with a smile, just enjoying life, dude. You,
yep.
You love what you do. And it just, you could tell. And I was so happy that you podiumed. That was cool. And I'm honored that you felt like I was worthy of your podcast. So I appreciate it. Let's just tell all these older people that we're not dead and they're not dead. Let's keep moving.
Amen. I totally agree. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.